I chase my daughter around singing, "Just keep swimming, just keep swimming." like
that's sounds cute. Terrifying.
This is.
Welcome to the Rampant Discourse Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Essen. I'm joined by my regular discoursers, Travis Hudson and Andrew Riley, and special guest discourser, Gurky. We are talking about the movies of the 2000s, where we'll be discussing our favorite movies, number one best, or the most influential, and others that are worthy of discourse. So this episode is going to be 2003. Gurky, why don't you kick us off with the highest grossing movies of 2003?
This year, we break into the billions.
Ooh.
Or billion. Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King, hit $1.12 billion. So that's a big jump even from the previous year. And we'll note that this year there's no Harry Potter. Mm. And I do think it I think they wanted to avoid the competition between Lord of the Rings.
They were scared. They're scared.
Possibly. Or maybe I'm making that up as to why they postponed a year. But then following that up, we have Finding Nemo with $871 million, followed by The Matrix Reloaded, then Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl, Bruce Almighty, The Last Samurai, Terminator 3. Uh-oh, I have a blank here.
The Matrix Revolutions? I don't know
what number 8 is.
Matrix Revolution.
Oh.
Revolutions.
Matrix Revolutions, really? That's weird. Okay. Well, it's weird to me that they both came out this year.
I did not know that they came out the same year.
I vaguely remembered it. I don't know, somehow it got deleted.
The reason I don't remember that is I never saw Revolutions.
Yeah.
No, what? I saw the second one. What's the second one?
Reloaded.
I saw Reloaded. Yeah. I hated it so much I never saw Revolutions.
Is Revolutions the dance scene? Like where there's like...
The rave?
Yeah.
That's Reloaded?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not sure if I saw Revolutions either, actually.
Whoa, I didn't realize there was this much hate for the... This is
followed
like
by,
Andrew 2002 level hate for
followed
the
Followed by
graphics.
X2.
Yeah.
And then Bad Boys 2.
Yeah.
The year of the two. A lot of sequels.
Trend. Well, I almost counted that as a trend for 2000s, but there were a lot of sequels in the 90s and 80s, too.
Last year had a lot of sequels, too.
Yeah.
Lord of the Rings Two Towers, Harry Potter Chamber of Secrets, Star Wars Episode II, Men in Black 2.
Yep. The series that I noted for these years, 6 Harry Potter movies, 3 Lord of the Rings, 3 Pirates, 3 Underworlds, The Fast and the Furiouses, 2 Transformers, 6 Saws. There was a lot of series going on in these 10 years.
Yeah.
So I'm supposed to talk about the Academy Awards, though.
Yeah.
So, man, I'm noticing Kathleen Kennedy's name on a lot of producers for a lot of these movies. I can see why they maybe put her in charge of Star Wars now. So, Seabiscuit, this is going in up to the winner, which was a total makeup, but Seabiscuit. Then we had Mystic River, which I always confuse with Mystic Pizza. They're totally
not
different movies.
Same.
Not at all.
Kind of like Mulholland Drive and Mulholland Falls.
Master and Commander, The Far Side of the World. Andrew's hoping nobody picks that and he has to write it down. Lost in Translation. And the total makeup, because they didn't choose either of the first movies, is Lord of the Rings Return of the King, which also won Best Director and Best Adapted Screenplay.
Just shower them with awards now, because they've demonstrated that with 3 movies, they have done something amazing.
Is that actually something they knew was going to... they were like, we're not going to give it to the first two, because we know we'll just give it to the third?
No, I think this is the last chance. They kind of did deserve the last two, but we didn't want to, because it's this popular stuff, so we better give it to them now, and here, just take it all.
But, they didn't even... Okay, Two Towers was at least nominated, but lost to Chicago?
Chicago was a good movie. We didn't talk about it last year, but Chicago was good. It's an adaptation of a Broadway musical.
I liked it on Broadway. I liked the Broadway much better than the musical.
And I guess
much better than the movie.
Yeah, okay. I think the movie had some weaker performances than it could have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it was particularly well directed, but it also had some surprisingly strong performances from secondary characters. So,
and okay, to be fair, yes, Fellowship was also nominated. Anne Jackson was actually nominated for director that year as well. Not for Two Towers. Apparently, they didn't think he directed Two Towers very well. All right, Andrew, introduce us to the guessing game.
So our guessing game is that we're going to try and take a stab at each other's picks for either best or favorite / best or most influential and see how well we know each other and our taste when it comes to movies. And our scores so far is that through 3 years and 6 guesses apiece, Paul has 4 correct guesses and Travis has 3 correct guesses. And I have 4 correct guesses. And Gurky has 3 correct guesses. So it's really tight.
How many points has Paul just gotten from me alone?
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay. All right, Paul, what's your favorite movie?
No, my guesses.
Oh, yeah, your guesses. Yes.
He's gotten 3 of his 4 points.
I'm not going to give you guys my favorite already.
Dang it, it almost worked.
Yeah, nice try. You hear that? 3 of his 4 points are off of you.
That's right. Oof. And we've had 3 years. So he's guessed me
every
year.
He's gotten you every year. Wow.
I'm not feeling good about this one, but I'm going to say X2 for Travis. For Andrew, I'm going to say Lost in Translation. And for Gurky, I'm going to say How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Hmm.
How to Lose a Guy in 1 Guess.
Is that guy's Andrew? okay, so for my guesses, I went... Andrew, you liked Pirates of the Caribbean. Travis, I remember in the 1994 podcast or so, you mentioned being a 16-year-old girl and liking Johnny Depp a lot. Although then you said that it didn't really start till the 2000s. Okay. And so I put Pirates for you also.
That's a big lead up to just say that you're picking Pirates of the Caribbean for everybody.
And then for Paul, sorry, not Pirates. I do think it might be your influential, but I went with Underworld because I know you love Kate Beckinsale.
She is very
and
hot.
You love Underworld.
She's my Jennifer Connelly. All
right.
So.
Actually, part of my note I actually had, apparently I changed it when I put it into a document. I actually have my choice for Paul as being Underworld, but that wasn't my actual choice.
Down.
Interesting. But I also am changing mine on the fly based on memories more of Paul that my original pick was going to be Troy, but I'm going to switch it to Pirates.
Okay.
I seem to recall, but where's the rum?
Why more, is the rum always
much
gone?
More often than you talking about Brad Pitt as Achilles or anything like that.
Now,
that's why no one will remember your name.
Let me be clear.
See, I probably should have picked Troy for Andrew.
You're going to have a better shot at it.
The reason why you probably heard me say, why is the rum always gone? Is because
the rum was always gone.
And we were in college, yes. And there may have been drinking going on.
Maybe. And Keira Knightley.
There's Keira Knightley going on.
Knightley.
I do not remember that.
For Andrew, this is one of those ones where either you either like it or you might really hate it.
This has happened a lot.
I'm going with iRobot.
Ooh, that is very much a love it or hate it.
Yeah, love it or hate it. I don't know.
Flip a coin.
It's a book
out.
Movie, so we'll see which way you went. And Gurky, I went with Spider-Man 2.
that was a resigned, like,
Spider-Man 2, whatever. She did seem to think that it was better than Spider-Man 1, so I'm feeling a little bit stronger about it, but I don't know.
Okay, so for my guesses, Paul, I guessed Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl.
Wow. That's like sweep, isn't it?
Yes. After I changed mine, I'm going to kick myself if you did pick Troy now.
He didn't pick Troy. Travis, I'm going to pick for you 28 Days Later, starring Cillian Murphy.
I know what 28 Days Later is.
I'm mentioning the actor because the actor's the thing. And I'm probably not going to talk
about
28
Days Later.
Man. I'm not going to talk about 28 Days Later much other than this. So
objectify much? He's a thing.
I like Cillian Murphy. I think he looks really good.
I don't know who this person is.
This is Travis's favorite.
And Travis is a 16-year-old girl.
Cillian Murphy.
He's an attractive man.
I don't know who this guy is.
He's the Scarecrow from Batman.
Yeah. That's an attractive man.
Yeah.
Well, not so much a mimic, but that's another story entirely.
We'll get to that.
He's an actor that I'm interested in for the decade, because this is the first time he shows up in the decade.
Sure.
For movies that I'm interested in. For Gurky, I'm choosing Underworld.
Hmm. All right, Paul. Now, what is your favorite movie?
Best movie.
Best.
So I feel a little bad because... Apparently, I'm going to disappoint a lot of people here.
It's not Pirates.
Was it?
A day may come when the courage of men fails, when we forsake our friends and break all bonds of fellowship. But it is not this day.
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings, Return of
the King. That was on my list.
I went 3 for 3.
I considered it for you.
I think this might be actually my favorite of all the Lord of the Rings movies. And I really didn't want to pick them 3 straight years because that's so boring. But at the same time, I think, if I'm to be honest with myself, these are my three favorite films each year.
It's not only
I think you'd pick Underworld over that. If you're watch if they're both on right
Underworld,
now.
Underworld again is like
you would choose to watch Underworld.
Maybe, but it's like The Replacements. It's a tough call, but
yeah.
I mean, no. This is it wraps up the trilogy. It may be one of the best like it's definitely a top three in terms of the best wrap-ups of a movie series. I know people make jokes about there being so many endings, but they're all earned, and they are all meaningful, and they're all kind of needed. It kind of introduced this whole idea of everything looks really dark at the very end, and then all of a sudden, the good guys show up with their massive force at the end to kind of change the tide of battle when the Rohirrim show up in the Battle of Pelennor Fields. You see this replicated in Endgame. You see it replicated in Star Wars.
Is it this one or Two Towers that has the Sam voiceover that's talking about the darkness and...
That's this one, I, that this one, I think, yeah. I think so. I mean, and despite the there being these massive, massive battles, that there's also those quieter character moments where Sam and Frodo are just basically sitting there, and Sam's like basically giving him a pep talk.
Because he needs it.
Because he needs it. And it's kind of got everything going for it. And it's just a great movie. And I did love Pirates. This is one of the hard years for me, because I love Pirates of the Caribbean, The Curse of the Black Pearl, and I love Underworld. But I think if I was stranded on a desert island with only one of these movies to watch, I think it would be Return of the King that I would choose.
This is interesting, because for me, like, I thought you'd pick Underworld, but I almost picked Pirates because I thought it would win most influential. Right?
That's yet to be seen.
Well, yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that I was almost like, well, should I just give up on his favorite because it's going to be one of these two and go for the influential because Pirates is most likely going to lock that in my opinion, for you.
We'll see.
For me, my favorite, none of you guys got it again.
Oh, come on.
but Travis did mention Keira Knightley.
Oh,
Bennett like Beckham. Bennett like Beckham.
Wow.
That was one worthy of
discourse. Love that movie.
As soon as
you said
Keira Knightley, I was going to look like Pride and Prejudice. And I was like, nope. Wrong.
That's later. No, but yeah.
That's later anyway, yeah.
This was probably her strongest year, Keira Knightley.
I love this movie. And I had to double check when it came out, because apparently it came out in England in 2002, but in the US in 2003. So at first I had it in 2002 and I had to move it over to 2003.
I almost picked it for you. And it is one of my worthy of discourse.
Yeah.
That's all you need to defend?
Did I need to defend my favorite?
I don't know.
I mean, come on. You guys all saw it, right?
No, I haven't seen it.
True.
All right, so Travis needs to see Replacements, and Andrew needs
to
see
Replacements.
I also need to
see
Replacements.
You've seen Bendit Like Beckham, right?
Yes.
That was on my possible list for you, actually.
I also
one
told,
of the four I was considering.
I'm not going to get any points for either of you anyway. No one actually realized that I actually read my guesses for 2004 instead of 2003.
Oh, you did? No, you picked...
Yeah, you picked Pirates.
I thought you picked...
So.
No, I changed it to Pirates because I heard you guys say it.
So iRobot and Spider-Man 2 are not...
Yeah,
picks.
So my...
I was wondering about that. I looked over, actually, at my list, and I was like,
yeah,
I don't remember those movies.
I clicked on the wrong heading. So my guess for Paul was Underworld.
Okay. Then
that's why.
Pirates.
Yeah, that's why I remember it. And my guess for Andrew is Finding Nemo and Love Actually for Gherky.
I was surprised nobody guessed Love Actually for me.
There we go.
And I was expecting that to... Yeah. Yes, it is another Keira Knightley movie.
Okay.
So that makes,
I corrected it.
That makes
you
more
still
sense.
Get no points, but...
May God have mercy on your soul. Right.
So are you sticking with Pirates as your guess for Paul, or did you want to switch it back to Underworld, now that you saw that
it could be meaningful, because
it could matter in the next one. Because he still has to decide on influential.
I think because I changed it for the other year, I have to change it for this year. So I'll change it to still keep it for Pirates for this year, then, instead of Underworld. I feel like
I think that's a smart choice.
Yeah,
there.
I feel like I can't go back on my go back or
go back. However,
I don't know. I don't know what that would even be.
Yeah,
take backs and take backs.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't feel
okay.
Like
this makes much more sense. 2003. All right.
Okay.
No, I was wondering like when. Okay, is it my turn for favorite?
Yeah.
I'm totally confused because I was gonna be like, oh yeah, Paul, I should probably actually pick X2 is my favorite, not the movie I did pick, but I did have X2.
All right.
That sounds so confused. Like, wait, this has to be the wrong year.
Four, baby.
There we go. X2. Yeah. The best X-Men movie, the most heart, the most meaningful. Like, the Phoenix coming in the water at the end gave me chills.
Yep.
Like,
Nightcrawler.
I fell asleep to this.
An impressive
action
scene too.
Yeah,
in the White House.
I fell asleep to this movie just as much as I fell asleep to Chamber
That doesn't
Secrets.
Sound like a very good thing. I fell asleep to this movie.
No, but that means like
that he watched it. I watched it
dozens and dozens of times.
It sounds like it's boring though.
I'm not even gonna say pretty sure. It has to be one of the few DVDs I still own. Like I've vastly reduced my DVD collection, and this is packaged with X-Men 1 in the double pack. Forget X-Men 3.
Is this the best?
Spoiler alert for the future. Take X-Men 3 off your list.
Is this the best X-Men movie?
That's the first thing I said. Is this the best X-Men movie?
It is clearly the watermark of the X-Men series.
Objectively, this is the best X-Men movie. I think even better than First Class.
See, I don't remember which one's which.
I think it's close for me, but I don't disagree necessarily, but it's close. There are some that I think are...
If we say X2 is 100, then X-Men is like a 95. They're good.
I think the other contenders are First Class and Days of Future Past. And I like those.
So to be fair, I have not seen Days of Future Past.
Really? That's surprising to me.
There's like First Class 2012, like I stopped seeing movies.
Okay. And Days of Future Past would be like a 90.
And Bruce was born that year.
Coincidence? I don't know. Completely irrelevant.
But yeah.
Love connection.
Okay. Yeah. X2 was hands down my favorite movie.
Give me the point. 4 for 4.
So, yeah. Paul, you picked for me Lost in Translation. I want to give you a negative point for this.
Okay, so it's one of the ones you hate.
That's one of the ones I hate.
All right. It seems like your type of movie. Does it not?
No.
Lost in Translation.
Bill Murray?
It's Bill Murray
and Scarlett Johansson. Is this Scarlett Johansson's first year?
It's her first year, but it's...
Girl with a Pearl Earring. Is that this year, too?
I have her written down.
It is one of the movies I like the least out of movies I've seen.
Wow.
It's really bad.
She had Ghost World.
But, you know, I do understand sometimes you're like, dude, did he like this or did he hate this? And it's a movie I've heard.
Can you explain why you hate this movie instead of love this movie? Because I can't figure it out. And don't just say it's not good, because whatever.
Right.
Rolling eyes.
What is going on in this movie is essentially an affair between an older man and a younger woman.
And you find that offensive.
It is disgusting.
Okay.
And it has... not any redeeming value.
But
it's consensual. You got that going for it.
Disgusting, but it's consensual. Yes. She's of age.
Yes.
Correct? So, like...
Yes, she is.
Is it really that disgusting or whatever? Like, how is it... whatever, it's fine. I haven't seen the movie, so I don't really know, but...
That's the main theme. And so the build-up, so how does the relationship form? Are they telling a love story that is interesting and compelling? No.
Okay. This is like the 2002 of love stories, is what you're saying.
It's just bad. I mean, yes, okay. I know you say I'm not allowed to say it's just bad, but the storytelling is not there. Bill Murray puts in his worst performance I've ever seen.
The wrong year now.
You know, this got nominated for Best Picture by the Academy Awards.
Yeah, and they were wrong.
Okay.
I don't know.
I've spoken.
I think that they wanted to give Sophia Coppola the award.
Yeah. Oh, so you're making it like a social justice award kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah.
They want to give the woman the award?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something. She's got the name, and it was a big movie, and, you know, a lot of... And Bill Murray is an actress with some prestige.
He's an actor!
With some prestige! Let me finish the sentence! There's a clause at the end of that!
No, it's funny that if you just say Bill Murray's an actor.
What's funny is, like, I was looking over it, then... Yeah, because Sofia Coppola got nominated for Best Director, lost to Peter Jackson... Bill Murray,
of course.
Bill Murray was nominated for Best Actor, lost to Sean Penn. I don't know if that was...
Mystic River.
Mystic River, yeah.
Another terrible movie, by the way.
But
not as bad as Lost in Translation.
You said which one you hate.
Okay, but Scarlett was not nominated for Best Actress. And I'm looking at some of these and like, I don't even know apparently she was a child actress, so maybe that's why. But Keisha Castle Hughes for The Whale Rider?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I actually remember that.
She's a child.
Samantha Morton in America?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, okay.
But what did get your...
Since no, I no, not sure. Lost in Translation,
yeah.
It was X2.
Oh. I would never have guessed that, to be
like
honest.
A high watermark of the X-Men series. Best movie
of the
year.
He did just say that a minute ago.
Really,
I know.
Really good. Nightcrawler's... Oh, yes.
Kurt Wagner. All right.
Influential.
Paul, start us off.
I feel like I'm going to disappoint everyone again.
Not Pirates of the Caribbean, wow.
Really?
Yeah. Love Actually.
What?
Because it started the holiday movies?
Oh, it's the quintessential romance movie. It's
what I mean, like
all
it,
of the
like,
English
didn't
actors
the same,
in it.
Didn't the same director do Valentine's Day
yeah,
and New
Valentine's
Year's
it,
Day?
So it kind of kicked off that whole idea of...
Never knew.
It's not like, even the best romance movie of this year.
Oh,
wow.
Maybe not.
28 Days Later.
It
lost in translation.
We lost in translation. Kill Bill.
Was that this year? No, it can't have been this year. We were talking about it.
Matrix Kill
Bill Volume 1 was 2000.
Oh, Bad Boys 2. There you go. No, I don't know. Like, it kickstarted that whole, like, having a dozen, like, disparate stories that may or may not intersect, focused on a holiday. You know, like a month ago, you had Boris Johnson having a commercial where he's holding up those signs. Like, that guy holding up the sign outside of the door for Keira Knightley.
Like, Say Anything?
No.
That was a boombox, but...
That was a boombox.
Love Actually, have you seen Love Actually?
I have seen portions of it.
Okay. Well, so one of the storylines is Keira Knightley.
Like, I'm done. Yeah. Walk out.
Keira Knightley marries.
Wow. I actually put that as a maybe for you.
Chiwetel Ejiofor, right? The operative from Serenity. Okay, that's not gonna help for you. Baron Mordo from Doctor Strange.
I've seen Serenity. Okay. I know who you're talking about.
Okay, sure. So Keira Knightley's married to this guy, and you find out during the course of the movie that this other guy. The groom's best friend is in love with Keira Knightley. And so at some point he rings the doorbell and Keira Knightley comes to the door and he's got this sign. He's like, you know, pretend it's Christmas carolers. And he starts playing this Christmas caroling song. And he says, because it's on Christmas Day, and all these are different signs. Basically, he professes his love for Keira Knightley.
Silently,
and
then says, while Christmas carols are happening so that no one knows.
Yeah, he's right. It's a little creepy. And there's been parodies of it where it's very creepy. Like, he's holding up signs saying, like, I'm stalking you or whatever.
Well, but the thing is, though, she thought he hated her.
Yeah.
Right? Because he was always awkward around her. Uh-huh. And because he had fallen in love with her and he was her husband's best friend, he was always just kind of, like, awkward and trying not to spend time with her, you know, and she's like,
guys are never awkward.
And she's like,
girls they like.
She's like, no, let's try and be friends. We got to be friends. We got to hang out.
And he's like, yeah, get away
from like, me. He's like, look, this is why I can't. Yeah. He's like, I've been in love with you since, you know, whenever. And honestly, it's actually sweet in a way.
The story behind it is kind of unimportant. The point is that it's been parodied or paid homage to, like, in a couple of different ways. This whole, like, if someone rings a doorbell and someone else opens the door and they're holding up a sign and they keep going through different signs, a lot of people will recognize that as being from Love Actually.
Okay, but not me.
But not you. But that's okay because you have no taste in movies. So that's part of it. But there's also, I mean, it's an incredibly diverse cast of characters. You've got Rowan Atkinson. Mr. Bean is in there. Mm-hmm. You've got Bill Nighy in there.
You keep looking at me like I disagree with you. Like, I
keep nodding at me, Travis. You've got Hugh Grant. You have Billy Bob Thornton. Keira Knightley's in there. Chiwetel Ejiofor. I wish I could figure out how to pronounce the guy's name. The other guy from Bridget Jones's Diary. It's just an incredible cast of characters. I'm not much for romantic comedies, but Colin Firth. Sure, that sounds about right. Yeah, is he from League of Kingsmen?
Think so.
Colin Firth. That's him. And it's a fun movie that we know somebody who used to like to watch it every Christmas or something like that. Mm-hmm. I found it to be influential for those reasons.
Okay.
You're wrong.
QED. Okay.
Oh,
you're wrong. I mean, it's a very good movie and I like it, but it's not the right pick for him for most influential.
Oh, what is your most influential?
Let me defend the Curse of the Pirates of the Caribbean, because that's what people are thinking.
Or Underworld.
Or Underworld, yes.
Similar to the Harry Potter movies, they kickstarted a franchise, but I don't think it's done much outside of that. I don't see a lot of influence outside of the other Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
I think it made pirates a thing, though.
I mean, yeah, but
movies have there?
No, I mean, like, pirates and culture became more of a thing, I think, after.
Maybe. I feel like it's been pretty exclusively just the
I mean, it created a series of Jack Sparrow movies that was pretty impressive. Five now? Wow.
Yeah, something else I was going to say is, like, I had Johnny Depp down for this year. Like,
he won an Oscar for this movie.
Okay.
But, like,
Lost in Translation got nominated for Best Picture.
But he won it for his performance.
And Pirates kind of ridiculous. It's not the kind of movie that usually gets
Wait, no, he got nominated. Oh. He lost to Sean Penn.
Sorry, yes, Sean Penn won.
Yeah. He got nominated. Nominated.
But Pirates of the Caribbean is not the type of movie that usually gets Oscar nominations.
Correct. And especially maybe that type of character. But
yeah, that type of character doesn't
Such an iconic character, and like that's why I included Johnny Depp. Yeah. Like, this might not be his strongest decade. Jack Sparrow is his best character.
No doubt Jack Sparrow is an iconic character. But I don't know if it's just... I just don't know if it's had an effect outside of those movies.
I don't think it needs to have an effect outside the movies to be influential. I mean, having a series of five movies is an in and of itself influential.
Sure. Right? But if I went with that, though, I always pick the Harry Potter movies, then.
Release the Kraken!
Unleash the Kraken. That was the second one.
That was the second one.
Okay, but I mean, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess maybe you consider then the second one more influential. Probably not, but like, okay.
Yeah.
So that's my defense. I mean, I'm surprised at it because I guess for influential, I tend to think that people are going to pick movies.
I thought he was going to pick Pirates as favorite just with how many times he used to say it. Where's
the wrong? I love the movie. I absolutely love the movie. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, so Paul will get a point here because my most influential is How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Influential.
I love that movie. This might be another case of there were two movies I really, really liked, and I could see, I don't actually remember what my argument was in my mind when I put it there, as opposed to Bend It Like Beckham.
Strong argument.
This was one where I just had two that I really wanted.
That's not how this works. You have to at least come up with a reason.
I can change it away if you want.
I had some pretty weak reasonings for influential in the 90s. Like, Star Wars Episode 1, because Star Wars was basically my explanation. So,
okay, fine. You're right. I mean, it's not a good reason.
I'll take my point.
Yeah, like, if you want to convince me that I have to change it away.
Let's move to an actual influential movie.
Then. Oh, snap.
Because wow, 28 Days Later... I think you said that, right?
It's good for your favorite, but it is
my influential.
Or influential. So I get the point.
That, along with Resident Evil, that revitalized the zombie genre.
Interesting. What was Dawn of the Dead?
Dawn of the Dead remake is 2004. Shaun of the Dead is 2004. Black Sheep, Planet Terror, Dead Snow, Zombieland, World War Z, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, Warm Bodies, The Walking Dead became, as Hasan Minhaj just told me, going on 9 seasons now. Yeah. 10 maybe now. So it also reinvented the zombies because I don't believe fast zombies were a thing before this movie.
No, it took the zombie idea and revitalized it and reframed it.
It also has like iconic shots of like the empty streets, mm-hmm. of like how they even pulled that off of like getting, it was in London, right?
I thought I Am Legend started that, though, with Will Smith and
I Am Legend is in a couple of years.
Oh, it
hasn't even come out yet.
It hasn't come out yet?
Yeah.
Okay, never mind.
There you go. But yeah, so like, and so there you go. Maybe another influential thing, like they saw these breathtaking empty city shots.
Cinematography in this movie was really strong, and the directorial work was also very strong. Who's the director on this movie? I can't remember.
I didn't write that down.
But he does some other things that are also amazing. So, and also very, very forward-looking and innovative, rather than just rehashing the same stuff.
Danny Boyle.
Yeah, Danny Boyle. Thank you.
This is one of those movies where I've only seen it once. I haven't ever rewatched it, but I remember like those empty scenes and fast zombies, and I can see how it... I mean, in retrospect now, I can look back to time and be like, yeah, it started all these zombies again.
Oh, this is Cillian Murphy. Is that what we discussed before?
That was what I was saying. Okay. That's what I was saying.
Because I was confused because it's like
Cillian Murphy. I've been told he's a very handsome man.
You know, I agree, but I looked up Google image searches, and all his pictures are hideous. Just for the record, if you're looking for Cillian Murphy, his pictures do not do him justice.
All right, Andrew. Now, what's your influential?
So, my influential movie for 2003 is Elf.
Elf? There you go. Oh, Will Ferrell was one of my actors, and this was one of his better years, too.
I have to put a couple of caveats on this one. First, I generally speaking do not like Will Ferrell as an actor.
Yeah, that's not surprising to me.
He has a lot of roles that I enjoy him in. I like him best in ensemble casts or where he is not the lead. When he's the lead, he gets on my nerves fast. And that is very true in Elf. I dislike this movie intensely.
All right. You're really
but it is hugely influential.
How is it? Okay.
Because it's a Christmas movie, which takes the Christmas message and reapplies it, but really it's just has this sticking power. A lot of Christmas movies are, you come out of that Christmas season and then you're gone. This one lasted. The comedy in it has some timeless nature to it, and it's still being played 6 or 7 times in households I'm in every Christmas, and I hate that, but it's there.
To sticking power, I can definitely agree. Like, I mean, I'm looking at, Will Ferrell had an incredible 2003 to 2006. But just looking at that list, Elf is the one that, like, visually, like, that's the one, like, the movie poster or whatever, I would think of almost first out of all these movies.
Love Actually is a Christmas movie, too. Mm-hmm. Which was more influential?
Which was more influential between Elf and Soul? Definitely Elf. Mm. Which one would I rather watch? Probably Love Actually.
What's interesting is also the same year he had Old School, which isn't influential or favorite, but
it's
has
a couple of amusing bits in it.
Has kind of an iconic character in it too, with Frank the Tank.
Yep.
I mean, it's played on Titantrons
at least
forget if it's BayStox, Orioles, or both. Whenever they hit a home run, they show Frank the Tank doing his.
I remember really liking Old School, but I don't remember like any quotes from basically like compared to Anchorman or Dodgeball.
Right, there's not we're going streaking and streaking like, on the is it cold in here? I think or something like that.
Yeah, it's
whereas obviously Anchorman and Talladega Nights are much more quotable.
I mean, he had just to go over it then right now. Yeah, he went Old School, Elf, Anchorman, Starsky and Hutch, Wedding Crashers, Producers, Bewitched, Kicking, Screaming, Stranger Than Fiction, Talladega Nights, and he finished with Curious George somehow at the end of all that.
Oh yeah, the band the Yellow Hat.
But that's a pretty strong, 4 years in there for a comedic actor.
Yeah. Okay, so that was Andrew's influential. Have we gone through everyone's?
Everyone said they're influential, yeah.
So right. Some worthy of discourse. What do you got, Paul? Anything?
Are
we going to talk about Underworld now?
I had three. Benedict like Beckham. I don't know if anything more needs to be said. Great movie.
We should probably mention who Beckham is, just in case people are not familiar
David
with
Beckham. Yes, so David Beckham. So it's a movie about two young girls who are both soccer players. They both idolize David Beckham, and they both develop a crush on their coach.
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Yeah, and one of them is a white English girl. The other one's an Indian.
Sikh.
Sikh?
Yeah, she's Sikh.
Sikh girl.
And she's on...
Poster Guru Nanak on the mantle.
Okay.
And she went on, she's
no
on,
idea
she's
what
on,
that means.
That Parminder Nagra is the Indian girl of later ER fame.
I say, was it ER or was it? I knew it was some medical show.
She was
show.
On ER at some point, yeah. And Keira Knightley has gone to larger things. Like
She had three movies this year. She had Pirates, Love Actually, and Bend It Like Beckham.
And she was the original Natalie Portman stand-in.
Yeah.
Phantom Menace. So yeah, great movie. Just not really my favorite and didn't really consider it influential, but I thought it was worth mentioning. I thought Underworld definitely was worth mentioning. Like my wife said, I love Kate Beckinsale, and she's in a tight leather outfit for this entire movie. And it's an awesome, like, stylistic vampire versus werewolves movie. And it's to me, it's kind of the definitive, like, vampires versus werewolves. It may not be the best, but whenever I think
Moon
of
Moon,
like,
doesn't take it.
I no, not remotely.
Kate Beckinsale made my notes here as an actress for the decade. She has all of the Underworld movies, and she has a couple of these other. She's very much typecast, which is unfortunate for her, but she has some serious success in those types of movies.
Yeah, she plays the role well. There's a couple of movies where she's fighting vampires, and it's not all
consistently doing the exact same thing.
She hates the vampires a lot.
Was she in Van Helsing?
She's the Van Helsing movie too. So this is that kickstarted my love of Kate Beckinsale, This is the best of the Underworld movies, but it does have an interesting backstory to it, and they do progressively get worse, but I still find them entertaining, even when they're getting bad. And the last is, I feel like The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Revolutions requires a toss-out. I apparently like those movies better than anyone else at the table.
No, I don't know about that.
Maybe not.
I think you and I may like them, obviously, more than the other two, but they're on my worthy to discuss list, so I'll bring them out now as well, in that... there are sequences in Reloaded that are really good, and there are ideas in Revolutions that are interesting. Mm-hmm. But the movies obviously suffer because people wanted more of The Matrix, and they basically got something completely different, and that wasn't going to fly very well. And I think it also was severely hurt by the fact that the production feels like it was rushed and that both of them were put out at the same time.
Putting them two out in a year never seems to never work.
Two out in a year was a bad.
They learned that with Star Wars.
Star Wars, they learned it with Back to the Future.
Solo and Last Jedi were the same.
Oh, were they? Okay.
So this needs to not happen anymore, and yet they're going to keep trying to do it because they want to milk the audience for as much money as they can, and the faster you put them out, the more you can milk them for. But there is a saturation point, and the saturation point is probably once a year.
I'd argue MCU managed to get Captain Marvel and Endgame out within
they've,
2 months
MCU's
of each other.
MCU's always had multiple movies out.
Yeah, they've had pretty consistently had three movies out in a year, sometimes two.
But they are
they're able to point it to different franchises.
Right, they're different.
Their main franchise.
Captain Marvel was a different movie, even stylistically, right, than Avengers.
Yeah,
like, that's the advantage of the MCU is you can go see a Doctor Strange versus an Ant Man and Wasp versus a Thor, and even Thor has changed across its Literally. Was Matrix 2 the one that I railed against because I wanted Trinity to die?
I guess.
Is this there the one where she dies and Neo brings her back to life? Yeah. And I hated that.
I didn't have a problem with it, but yes, that...
Because I thought I remember thinking it would have had much more emotional impact if she had stayed dead. We already know Neo's all-powerful. We didn't need to have the scene of him completing his Jesus moment and bringing somebody back to life or whatever. Like, we didn't... I remember being so upset about that. Like, as much as upset as, like, somebody like you are about Last Jedi, mm-hmm. I was about Matrix 2.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even bother with Matrix 3.
That still is amazing to me.
I'm surprised you haven't seen Matrix 3.
As much as you may have hated Reloaded, I thought you would have at least wanted to give the third one a try. I'm not saying it's worth seeing necessarily. I think it is.
I do think it's worth seeing as well, simply because, it, like I said, it has interesting ideas in it. I don't think it's a particularly good movie.
So I famously like my movies to make sense. And I...
Be quotable.
I don't know if Matrix Revolutions really ends in a note that makes sense. But I will say, the Matrix Reloaded sticks out in my mind because it is probably the most my mind has ever been blown by a plot twist in a movie. And maybe that's not true, but it's at least top three. The idea that, when Neo gets to the architect and he's like, listen, you're not the first. This isn't the first time you've been here. You've been here many. This is like the 20th time we've destroyed Zion. This is a cycle that's been going on forever and ever. And you're just going to be... perpetuating this cycle.
And you're not ready to change the cycle.
Yeah, and I'm like, holy crap, that's like mind-blowing. Like, that is not something I'd ever considered, that this is just part of a routine that the AIs have been doing for who knows how long. And then Neo goes to break that, and then it becomes this weird religious allegory and revolutions.
Well, it's always been a weird religious allegory.
It went like over the top of it. Like, it seemed to be detached from reality, and just everything was a religious allegory by the third movie. But at least it had a bunch of mechs shooting a bunch of robots, which is kind of cool. And it still had the martial arts and everything. So it's a mixed bag to me, but it was definitely a hugely notable movie of the decade.
The highway stunt scene in Reloaded, where the twins are fighting against Trinity, yeah. Neo and
Morpheus.
And that's in the Matrix, right? Obviously, the whole movie is in the Matrix.
Yeah, that's still most of it.
That's one of the movies. That's one of the scenes, though, that I know, like, some people pick apart because, like, physically, it shouldn't have ever worked. If you jump up, the truck's gone, and you fall on pavement. They're doing like jump kicks and jumping over each other and everything on a moving truck. Right. If you jump, the truck moves.
Well, but if you're just
momentum, you don't keep
going 60 miles per hour once you're in there.
Well, not no, you slow down real fast. You start off at 6 miles an hour. You need to decelerate, and you will decelerate fast. But so you're going to fall off, but you're not going to fall off instantaneously.
I mean, the air resistance is what's going to push you back. But you are going 60 miles an hour while you're on the truck.
Yeah, but what I'm saying, once you're in the air, once you jump,
you don't stop immediately though. You're still going.
I didn't say immediately. I'm saying that you're not.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's more like, and I'm not saying I picked that up right. I'm just like, there's been internet things about that, like that you should probably go further back. Because the counterexample is like, if you hop in an airplane, it's not like you fall off the airplane. The thing is, like, we're not jumping high enough. Like they were, I mean, they're doing like huge leaps and like somehow staying on top of this truck.
And I mean, then the counterexample is Neo is punching through concrete columns.
Well, the counterexample is
getting shot and coming back.
The counterexample is taking place in a computer simulation, which can be programmed to do whatever the
hell
they want.
The whole point is they break the simulation all the time.
Yeah. The whole point is they always routinely are breaking the laws of physics. Yes. That's the movie. But yeah.
But yeah, those are some of the bigger action movies from the year. Certainly big blockbuster movies. Right. Definitely worth talking about. Anything else on your list?
No, that's up for regular discourse.
Okay, I have a few.
I do too.
Oh,
you go.
How about The Last Samurai? Another Tom Cruise movie.
There you go.
This is one
cultural appropriation
in the extreme, but it does it better than a lot of movies. It seems to know it's culturally appropriate.
It's better cultural appropriation.
So it seems to it handled it moderately well, and it's an interesting story. It's a very, you know, like I said, there's some good love stories this year and some not so good love stories. This one has a good love story.
I didn't even realize there was a love story.
Well, there's a love story. It's not the main purpose of the movie. It's not like rom-com or anything like that. It's not a romance. I have another one of those. How about a pure comedy? How about Bruce Almighty?
Yeah.
It's Jim Carrey's first real comedy since the 90s, and he shows that he's still got his comedic chops. Yeah. The other guy.
Steve Carell.
Thank you. Steve Carell is there. He's pretty funny.
Yeah. And he gets his own spin-off.
Evan Almighty.
Yeah, because they're like, we can't get Jim Carrey to come back and do it again, but we got ideas for a sequel.
Another franchise ace in this year.
Sure, why not? You want a good rom-com? How about Something's Gotta Give?
It's a different
silence.
It's a different type of rom-com.
It's a very different type of rom-com.
Don't know what that is.
Jack Nicholson,
Helen Hunt, and I forget the other actors.
Greg Kinnear, right? Oh, is that this one? That no, I always get them mixed up. Or this is the one where he's like old and OCD, right?
No, About Schmidt.
No, that's
because he's OCD. Yes,
this is not the one where he's dating Amanda Peet.
I don't know who Amanda Peet is.
I think you're right. So Something's Gotta Give has got Diane Keaton, Jack Nicholson, Amanda Peet, Keanu Reeves, and Frances McDormand.
What?
You're thinking of his next movie.
Whose next movie?
Jack Nicholson's next movie is...
I'll look up to see what's after Something's Gotta Give.
It probably got nominated. It's not Something's Gotta Give. Something's Gotta Give is the rom-com. Where he's dating Amanda Peet and Keanu Reeves is dating Amanda Peet's mom, I think.
So after Something's Gotta Give, there's The Departed.
No, after...
There's also Anger Management. About Schmidt is before. The Bucket List.
What was he in where he takes the road trip with the waitress and the gay guy with the dog?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, As Good As It Gets. I'm talking about the wrong movie.
He's talking about As Good As It Gets. He's in the wrong decade.
I'm in the wrong... I am wrong.
Okay.
All right, that's the going at the beginning of every single episode. I am wrong.
I'm going to talk about some of my movies that I was
going to talk about. A movie that happened this decade.
I don't remember being like wall to wall best comedy, but I don't even know how I bothered to write down Bruce Almighty. I wasn't too much of a fan of it, but I'm hungover. That means you're drunk. Means I was drunk yesterday.
Oh, School of Rock.
School of Rock. Yeah.
It's got the Miranda. What's her name?
It has Jack Black.
Some singer.
Yeah, but I remember it has Jack Black and it has that line. Yeah. Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
I am so glad I'm not a woman who has to shave her legs after watching that movie.
That's not your kind of movie.
No, I know that from the title.
I don't know if it was his first one, but also probably was introduced people to Eli Roth, I think. Mm-hmm. They might not have known it until Hostel, but that was Eli Roth. Quickly do some other ones. Oh, Kill Bill Volume 1. Just be like...
I'm surprised it didn't get brought up. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and like I made a mom's day a couple Halloweens ago. She had her little son who couldn't even talk, I think, dressed up in the outfit, in the jumpsuit.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, sweet, it's Bruce Lee. And she goes, thank you. Because everyone else says Kill Bill. And I'm like, because Kill Bill was homaging Bruce Lee. Like, I know what you're doing there.
I wouldn't have.
Me neither.
Now... Kill Bill Volume 2 had my more favorite scene of the Kill Bill series. The Superman speech. No, the Superman speech about who's the actual alter ego of Superman's the real, or whatever the speech was. I don't remember it at this point. But I remember
your favorite, but you don't remember.
And then even though I picked it for Andrew, but Finding Nemo is
It's not on my
list. Did for water what Monsters, Inc. did for hair.
It's the continuation of the Pixar theme that we're going to see throughout this decade. Again, fantastic storytelling with good technology.
And the fact that, have you taken a kid to an aquarium?
Oh, yeah.
It's super influential.
It's Finding Nemo! It's Finding Nemo! That's all that... Anytime you see that clownfish, it's Nemo!
Yeah.
It's like,
every clownfish is Nemo.
Every clownfish is Nemo.
Every turtle is Crush.
Yeah, that's actually my bedtime routine with my son, with Bruce, is to we bonk heads and I go, Noggin, dude, Jellyman, Offspring. Like, that's our bedtime routine because of this movie. That's what Crush and his son do in this movie, and they're like, so cool. I chase my daughter around singing, just keep swimming, just keep swimming.
Sounds terrifying.
This is... That scene is actually terrifying when they go down, because that scene leads to the anglerfish in the dark, which I expect, of all the things my kids to be scared of, I expect that. No, they don't care about the anglerfish.
It's part of nature. They're not cuttlefish.
I guess. They watch enough Wild Kratts that they're used to whatever crazy stuff goes on in nature.
So I have a question. Did none of us write Pirates for anything?
Correct.
I wrote it for Paul. Guessing for Paul.
I mean, I guessed it for a lot of people.
Because it's a guess, not a movie.
I find that very surprising because it was a good movie.
It's a great movie.
It was a very good movie.
It was probably the best one.
It had a lot of good acting performances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, had Orlando Bloom.
I knew she was going to say it.
Hey, he's hot. And Johnny Depp was awesome. I mean, and then
Keira Knightley.
I mean, that's like...
deserved to have Elizabeth Swann's hand in marriage.
No.
No. I do remember that take.
Yeah. It's a deep cut there.
We've heard that one before.
Yeah. But anyway, I mean, that one really ought to be discussed to some degree.
Sure.
I mean... I was surprised that nobody.
I feel like if we had second best movies for everybody, to reference Andrew's preferred nomenclature, I think Pirates of the Caribbean would probably show up a lot, if I had to guess.
It surprises me how well that movie did, considering the absolute cluster the writing team was at coming up to it. They were making last minute changes to the script, you know, like the day before filming starts, and they're still making these minor edits throughout. When that happens, usually the script is awful and the movie's bad because of it, and yet they managed to make it work, and I'm not entirely sure how they pulled it off, and I think that I think that hurt them for the sequels because they kept trying to do the same thing, and those movies suffered because of it.
It's a relatively complicated story, too, that works by the end.
All like, the pieces
no
were moving
real
a
holes
lot.
In the plot. And I felt like the second and third movies got a little too complicated. Like, yeah. You have to really think through it and be like, okay, I understand what they're trying to do. I understand this person's motivation. But in the moment, you're like, God, I have no idea why these people
are
doing what they're doing.
They also start going heavier on the supernatural side and stuff by the time you start getting to like zombie pirates and things like that.
Well, zombie pirates is in the first
one. Is it?
Yeah.
Well, okay. There's the skeletons, but they're effectively zombies because they're fully mental zombies. So
I'm a little surprised no one picked Terminator 3: Rise of the Machines. I know
for
it's not.
What?
I know.
Worthy of discourse.
For Worthy of Discourse. It's not okay. It's not a great movie, but I did appreciate that they were willing to go with the spoiler alert. The sad ending.
If anything, yeah, kind of like there was actually a Denzel movie in the 90s where I was impressed where the devil actually won. There was something where, like, there was, like, the devil could hop.
People beat Denzel. And,
yeah, he like, hops into a fox's body and, like, hops, like, gets away at the end
of
the movie.
Oh, I do. That does sound very
So, like, weird. Yeah, I respect any movie that can actually go with the bad guy wins.
Yeah.
But now that didn't happen.
Well, yeah, the later movies kind of erased that. But it was kind of novel, the idea that Judgment Day is inevitable. Like, you can postpone it, but it's going
to
happen.
Which, to the convoluted nature of time travel makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, Judgment Day had to have happened by definition to have any of these movies to make it take place.
Yeah. So I think it's just worth a call out because, again, I'm not saying it's a great movie, but it was interesting for that matter alone, at least.
It also was the female Terminator?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
you the could, future Blood Rain.
Which you could also argue led to the TV
poor,
show, right?
Poor actress.
Oh, the Sarah Connor Chronicles?
Yeah.
Kinda. Yeah. Very different female Terminator, though. Summer Glau is very different than
Chris. Yes.
I got one more movie for you guys.
All right, let's wrap this up.
You wanted foreign animated films? Good. I've got one for you.
Okay.
Triplets of Belleville.
Okay. I was about to ask, is it going to be a movie I've heard of? I'm guessing not.
I've heard of it,
but I've never seen it.
So this was recommended to me by a boss. So it's obviously I didn't get the chance to see it here because at this point I was still in college, but he recommended it to me, and I really do like this movie, and I think it needs to have a little more wide exposure. It's essentially a silent film, so the fact that it is foreign doesn't really play into it too much. It is almost indescribable, but it is beautiful, and storytelling is done through emotion and artistry and has some really awesome moments in it.
And just to I don't know if it needs to be clarified, but it's a French foreign. Yes, just because most of the other movie, my initial reaction when you say a foreign animated movie is to think just Japanese.
Right, no, this is a French movie. Mm-hmm. So I've had a couple of French movies on my list. So
shocking.
I have one more.
Shocking.
Yeah.
Multipass.
Not French.
But the director was French.
Fine. You know what else he directed?
She was in Run Lola Run, right? The girl who played
Mila Jovovich.
Yeah.
But that was German.
True. But you just did multipass, and I was like, wait. Like, yeah.
All right, anything else? All right. Twitter, @RampantDisc. Facebook, Rampant Discourse. Discord, discord.io/RampantDiscourse. Give us a review on iTunes, Spotify, everywhere else. Can't stop the discourse.